We're moving along towards the end of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Let's read these two verses here, 21 and 22. Paul says, "So that you may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all these things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, so that you may know our affairs and so that he may comfort your hearts." We've been talking about prayer in the last few weeks as that method through which we get the power, having been dressed and utilizing the armor of God to live a victorious life. And through prayer, we receive the strength to do so. And Paul has taught us about the need to pray. The need to pray about all things, about all people, in all circumstances, at all times. There's general prayer about everything and everybody. And there's specific prayer about specific things. Paul has mentioned several things that we began to look at last time. Remember in verse 18 and 19 especially, he says, pray for me. Pray that utterance may be given to me. The word utterance means words, it means what I speak. You say, well, it would seem to me that the Apostle Paul spoke quite well. He wrote over a third of the New Testament epistles. The details of the gospel, especially Ephesians and Romans, but all of the epistles that Paul wrote, in so much detail and richness and depth, teach us about our wonderful God, about our Savior, about our salvation. And Paul is praying that God would, and asks the church to pray for him, so that when he speaks, the words he speaks would be the words that God wants him to speak. You know, sometimes we think that we are ready to speak to somebody about the Lord. Have you ever had a desire to talk to somebody about the Lord? And you prepare and all of this. But this is an important lesson here. Pray that the very words, the specific words, is what this text means. Not just words in general. Don't just take the Bible and throw the whole Bible at somebody, but specifically meet them at their point of need and talk to them specifically about the specific things that God would like you to minister to them about. Notice Paul says, "So that I may open my mouth boldly." Boldly, we say in Russian, divznavenia. With no shame. In chapter 1 of Romans, Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." Why? Because it is power to save. And yet Paul is praying, and Paul is asking the church to pray for him so that he would be bold. And when I read through the New Testament, perhaps Paul is the boldest minister that we have ever encountered in history. When Paul was saved, Jesus appears to him, remember, on the road to Damascus, and says, "You will be my witness before kings and before nations and before Israel." And when we read the book of Acts, we read every place that Paul went, he was bold, he was not ashamed, he had no fear. You may have seen some t-shirts that were around a couple of years ago that wrote "no fear" on them. It's a pretty good message for the Christian. You know, Paul starts in verse 10 here. He says, "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And he goes on and describes the armor of God that God gives to us so that we can live a victorious Christian life. And Paul lived this life. Paul was bold. Paul knew the words he wanted to say, and yet he's praying and he's asking the church to pray for him so that he could be bold. You know, when Paul came before the king, he came before Agrippa, he came before Felix, he came before other kings. As far as history tells us, the Bible doesn't tell us, but most scholars believe that Paul stood before Nero in his defense before Nero condemned him to be beheaded. We don't know that for a fact from Scripture, but that's what tradition tells us. Paul was not afraid. And yet, he says, "Pray that I would be bold." Do you remember on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit filled the believers? They were bold in how they spoke. Do you remember when the Christians gathered to pray after Peter and some of the apostles were arrested? They prayed for what? They prayed for boldness to speak. Do you see how all these words are related in Paul's mind? Because we can be bold in our strength, or we can be bold in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, I want to speak the right words. I want to speak boldly with assurance. I want to be at ease when I speak. I want to be persuasive. I want to be confident. I want to be assured of what I speak about. When you speak about Jesus, when you speak about the Word, do you speak about it as if this is the Word of God, that God spoke? It came out of the word out of the mouth of God. And yet Paul says, it's the mystery of the gospel. The words of the gospel of which I am an ambassador. You understand the word ambassador? You know, several times over the last couple of years, there have been ambassadors that have broken the law. And they get deported. Especially some of the guys that come into the United Nations. They've been accused of doing a lot of things, smuggling drugs and all kinds of other things. And what is always amazing is, remember the little phrase that says diplomatic immunity, right? He's off target. He's off limits. The police can't touch him. They can deport him. They can send him away. Notice that Paul says, I am an ambassador in chains. When's the last time you saw an ambassador that broke the law that was in jail or in chains? We just don't see that in our society. They have immunity. They're free. They let them go home. But not Paul. Do you know why? Because Paul was not a free ambassador. Several times, remember back in chapter 4, Paul says, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now he says, I am an ambassador in chains. What's interesting, and I've never known this until I really studied this text in detail, but as I looked up the meaning of this word ambassador, in the Greek language is the word presbyteros, which is where we get our Russian word presbyter, which is the word that we use for pastor. Paul is saying is, I'm a pastor in chains. But remember, who did Paul represent? Whose kingdom or which king did Paul represent? An ambassador is somebody that the king or the emperor or a country will send to another country to represent them. Paul was God's representative. He was the representative of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. Paul represented him where? In the dark, dark kingdom of Satan. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord. Put on God's armor, because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the darkness of the rulers of this world. Paul understood that he was an ambassador. He was a pastor of God to the people that are in darkness. Isaiah talks about Jesus Christ coming and bringing light to those who were in chains and to those who once were in darkness. Elsewhere, Paul says, God has called us out of the kingdom of darkness, which belongs to Satan, the father of lies, the first murderer, into the glorious kingdom of the light of God. So you notice Paul says, pray for me. This is a specific request. Paul doesn't say, pray that these chains would come off. No, Paul says, pray that my mouth would be open and speak boldly the words of God, that as a pastor, as an ambassador of God, that I would speak it. Notice the very last phrase in verse 20, as I ought to speak. You know, even as Christians, when we know the word, when we're prepared, when God sends us and he's chosen us like Paul as a chosen vessel, and he sends us and he brings us into contact with somebody that needs to hear the gospel, we need to be conscious of the Holy Spirit moving in our life so that what we say, we would say it properly as we ought. There is a right way and a wrong way to say everything. Have you ever said something, the right message, but in the wrong way? I think we've all experienced that. And Paul is praying that he could speak properly. Now, Paul had been a pastor in Ephesus. He had been a pastor to the Ephesian believers. And I'm sure that they were concerned and they were worried about Paul. Rome was a long way from Ephesus. They didn't have telephones or internet or texting, like some of you guys like to do in church, right? He had to send a letter. He had to write a letter. And interesting here, he says, okay, I've talked to you about my spiritual needs. But the Christians were probably saying, Paul, how are you? Are you well? Are you healthy? Are you depressed? Are you happy? You know, we think of Paul as never having any problems. We think of him as the Christian Superman, superhero, right? But you know, as you read Corinthians, Paul had moments of doubt, and Paul had moments of frustration, and Paul had moments of fear, and Paul had moments when he was hungry and cold and tired. Paul experienced the things we experience. He was not God. He was a human just like we are. And he was sitting in a cold, dark jail in Rome. And he says, so that you would know how I am doing physically, I will send you Tychicus. And this is a wonderful brother here. He says, Tychicus is my beloved brother and faithful minister. Notice Paul uses the word beloved. Tychicus was not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And Tychicus was not ashamed of Paul. Elsewhere, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, everybody has left me. He says, one person went here, one person is there, this person is sick. I am alone. Paul was left all alone at the end of his life. He's sitting in the jail. And Tychicus was the current pastor in Ephesus. And he had come to Rome to visit Paul. And with his eyes, he saw Paul. And with his ears, he heard Paul. And Paul writes this letter to the Ephesians. And instead of talking about his chains and how uncomfortable he is, he's opened up to us in these six chapters. Think back over all of these messages we have had in Ephesians. The depth of the glory, of the blessings of God, of salvation. You know, Paul's not complaining about himself. He's talking to us about what God has done for us. And he says, but Tychicus, he'll tell you about me. Paul's not even saying, pray that God would release me from these chains. But Tychicus, my beloved brother, brotherhood. We are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, every one of us. From the oldest to the youngest, to those upstairs and those downstairs and those down in the basement. We're brothers and sisters. We're one body here. Paul's talked about unity. He's talked about walking worthy. He's talked about walking in love. Chapter 5, verse 2. Walk in love as Jesus, who loved us, gave himself for us. Tychicus is my beloved brother. I love him. And he has expressed love in coming to jail to visit me. But he's also a faithful minister. We don't know everything that Tychicus did, but he was faithful in whatever God called him to do. We know that he took this letter to the church at Ephesus. We know that he took the next letter Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, and he delivered that letter. It's possible he wrote another letter to the church in Thessalonica that we're not sure about. But he was a faithful minister. In verse 22, I'm sending him to you so that you would know about me, how I'm doing physically. And not only that, but so that he could comfort your hearts. You know, sometimes when somebody's far away and we receive news, have you ever talked to somebody on the phone or got a letter or an email and the person says, I'm okay? I get a phone call sometimes and in the voice of the person talking. You know, you can read a letter, but it doesn't express the feeling of the voice on the telephone. Do you ever pick up the phone and you say, the first thing you say is, what's wrong? Paul says, Tychicus will come and he will comfort your heart about me. Tychicus will come and he's going to tell you that I'm okay and that I'm praying for you. Don't pray for my chains. Pray that God would give me boldness to speak as an ambassador. And then, having written this beautiful, wonderful letter, Paul ends with a benediction, with the doxology. That's verse 23 and 24. And God willing, that's one more message. God willing, we'll look at that next time. Amen.